We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it is my privilege to come to you in the time of Take Time for Jesus. We hope that you have been prosperous in the days gone by in the spirit of truth, and that God has blessed you and kept you by his saving grace. And we would just love to hear from you. If you would just email us and let us know that you hear us, it's all we're asking. We're not asking for your wealth of any kind, because we want to plant the seed that is prosperous to you, and that you may grow in the grace of God, my friend. God has supplied the needs of many people, but these that are out there today that are making prosperity their main goal and everything, they're wanting to prosper here on this earth. I want you to prosper in the kingdom of God and bring forth fruits of the Spirit. So I encourage you to read the Bible. Let God direct your path in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake, that you would come to be what he would have you to be, and not with the riches of this world, but the riches that you can lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves and moths and things and rust can't destroy it, but it'll be there with you for eternity. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed that needs to be planted. And when you go and tell people about the goodness and the grace of God, you water in that seed, and it begins to grow and flourish and come forth and bearing fruit unto the Lord, then you're going to reap some benefit from it too, my friend. But if you go and put all your eggs in another man's basket, he's the one that's going to sit down and enjoy them when he eats them, and you're not going to have any result for it. My friend, it's time we realize that planting the seed that God was talking about was the gospel. The seed of righteousness in the world is that where we need to plant it at, and not within somebody's bank account somewhere or another. I know it takes money for all these big TV broadcasts and one thing or another for them to have all the wealth that they got and build their big mansions on high on the land, you might say, but my friend, I'm looking to build there in the kingdom of God with fruits of the Spirit and lay up a treasure there with the Lord. Not in this world, because these things that are here in this present life is going to be destroyed. It's only what's done for God is going to last through eternity. So would you want to have a harvest here on earth and be multiplied in great things of riches and things of prosperity and everything? And then when the end time comes and you stand before the righteousness of God and the throne of grace there, and Jesus looks down and says to you, oh, you've done all these things, but you've done it in vain. You've done it to yourself. You sowed seed of corruption in the world. And so now I don't know you. Get thee hence. Or would you rather, when you stand before him there, that he would say, enter into my barns? Jesus made a statement there one time that when they gather in the wheat and they bring it to the thrashing floor and they throw it up, and the chaff is carried away by the wind, but the grain falls and it's put in a storehouse. But the chaff is taken out and separated, and it's burned in the fire. So what would you want to be? Would you want to be gathered together in the kingdom of God and put away in his safety and in his bosom there, or in his storehouse? Or would you rather for to be like the chaff and be cast into the fire? My friend, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to think that they have done all these things and they done the right things, but they left God out of the equation. And they gave him no praise and honor, but they done it for the things and the material things of this life. And they lost out, and they were thrown in the fire as the chaff is thrown into the fire. The Bible says that when the time comes at the harvest, that he's going to tell the angels to go and gather out the tares. Now, what are you? Are you a tare or are you going to be wheat? He gathers them out. But the people that sowed them, they wanted to go and pull out the tares there. But the Lord said, no, leave them alone. Let them grow together. And by, when the harvest comes, he said, I'll send my angels, and they will gather out of all the tares, and they put them in bundles and throw them in the fire. My friend, and then he'll gather into the wheat, and he'll put it in his gurney, and it'll be stored in the kingdom of God. Which would you rather be? Would you want to sow your seed into the world today in the order of prosperity? Or would you rather sow your seed of righteousness in lifting up the kingdom of God and praise and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ and giving him praise and honor? For he is due it all. No man is worthy of all of your labors. God is the one that gave you health and strength in order to make your living, and may you be prosperous that way. But he said, if a man, and John spoke about, if a man prospers, let him prosper in the glory of God. For if a man seeks after the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added unto him. So why seek after the material things of this world? Because someone says, oh, sow your seed, send this to me, and God will bless you. My friend, there's no scripture to back up that, but if you're willing to go that route and be cast out the same way that he possibly may be, then that's up to you. But let me tell you, you need to sow your seed in the kingdom of God, in this world, and let your light shine out, that God will bless you and prosper you in spirit and in truth, not in the material things, because they're going to one day be done away with. Only what's done for God's going to last. And as we pray now at this time, we pray that God will open your understanding, have an ear to hear, and faith to believe in what thus says the Word of God, and believe and trust in him. Read your Bible and find out what it has to say about it, and trust in the Almighty God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for that you have blessed us with, spiritually, physically, and financially. We hope that we will be able to spread this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, plant the seed of salvation into the hearts of them that would hear, that it may flourish and grow for the kingdom of God and bear fruits to thee 100-fold. We ask that, Lord, that you would help them, be with them, and guide them and direct them in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. To be any sick amongst them, O Lord, let them pray and seek after thee, and that the kingdom of God be nigh unto them, and the presence of God be real to them, and you touch them and deliver them and bring them forth for thy glory and for thy name's sake. And we'll be careful to praise you for these and all things in that precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As my wife has something other here containing to the sowing, so here she is, my wife, Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. I just consider it an honor to be able to share what God has given me. And if you ever want anything that I've read, you want to share anything with someone else, just give me or send me an email or send me a letter in the mail or whatever, and I'll be glad to send it to you. It's not going to cost you anything. I'm not going to say, you know, like some people, you can have it if you send a love offering, but it don't cost you anything. No, it doesn't cost you anything. It costs you just to request it. But the name of this is a track that called The Wheat Harvest Is On. And I, being a farmer's daughter from Pennsylvania, I know what harvesting wheat is. Whatever time of the year, wheat is in a phase. Planted in September or October, it grows and establishes strength in a root system to carry it through the trials of winter. In spring, it grows rapidly, avoiding a late freeze, drought, aphids, blight, wildlife, and weeds. Weeds seem to grow in meanness as they take moisture and mineral from the growing wheat and provide difficulty for the combine during harvest. Some weeds, like wild onions and garlic, produce seeds similar in size and weight and spoil the value of the wheat. Before combines and thrashing machines were a thing, farmers were tempted to pull the weeds, but trampling in the field would destroy more wheat than it would save. Pulling up weeds, called tares also, would uproot the wheat because the root systems are virtually intermingled. Today, herbicide stuns most weeds to the point that the wheat can be harvested successfully. When the combine travels through the wheat, all plants are beat in the thrasher and the wheat seed is sifted out by size and weight, while the chaff, or straw, and tare are shredded as it exits the machine. Often it is burned in the field or left to perish in the weather. The value of studying the life cycle of wheat is simply one of life and death. Yes, it is that serious. If compared to our soul, wheat and tares is an excellent teaching tool, and that is why Jesus taught us many things with the parable of the sower. You can read it in Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 24th through the 30th verse, and that's about the reapers and the sowers and the reapers and everything. For the days of our lives, we have seen the time of planting and of growing, but now the time of harvest of souls is near. That is, the time of Jesus' return is close, and neither the wheat nor the tare will be removed early until the coming of the reapers, which is the angels, at the end of this age. Whether we will be separated and bundled for the coming fire or gathered from the Master's barn depends on whether or not we have been transformed from sinner to saint. And that's in John 4 and 35. It is like us to put off doing business with God, telling ourselves, I've got plenty of time. But can you not see the world today without knowing the harvest is near? Then allow yourself to fall in love with the Lord of the harvest. Surrender yourself to Him in prayer, repentance, and adoration. Your conversion from tare to wheat will grant you safety from the coming fire and wrath. Thus, an understanding of the wheat harvest is a matter of eternal life and death. Should you die in the field before the time of the harvest, your soul will rest in the dust of the earth, but your opportunity to yield to the Savior's call will be lost to you forever. Then at the harvest, you will join the others on earth who neglected salvation to watch for His return, only to wail and mourn as you realize that His promised coming is not for you, but against you, who belong to Him not. Seize the choice given you to confess your sins and become saved. Where will you spend eternity? We can choose whatever we want. Is it eternal life or eternal death? We can choose eternal life with Jesus Christ, and the decision is yours. Or you can go on in your sinful way and choose the road to hell, which is your choice. No one can make it for you. Repent, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. Look at the news. Look at the things that are happening around and about the world and compare it with your Bible. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come, and you may not even live out the rest of the day. Now is repentance. Salvation is at the door. Jesus is knocking on your door. Repent today. I just urge you, you know, that today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be yours to behold. And I just praise God this afternoon again for this opportunity that I have to share with you the wheat and the harvest. The harvest is coming. Where have you planted your seed? If you want to write to us, our address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. You can write to us, which we appreciate it. London, we appreciate the islands and everybody that's taking their time out to write us and tell us, hey, we appreciate what you're sending out there, you know. And we're in 97 countries, so I just praise God that someone out there is going to be touched this afternoon. And if you can write to us, you can email us. The address for the email is ecompton31@yahoo.com. Or you can send it to me if you can remember my email. It's sallygcp4@yahoo.com. And I just praise God this afternoon, and I just appreciate him for his love. And I love his word. And if you want to help us, we'll be welcome, but it's not necessary. We just want to hear from you and let you know what God's doing in your life. And here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes, today is truly the day that we're living in is not unto the harvest. Near into the coming of our Lord and Savior and his appearance in the clouds of glory. My friend, today we need to be vigilant about what's happening in the world, and we can know by knowing these things and compares them to the Word of God, we know that the harvest is nigh. Have you planted your seed in the kingdom of God, or have you planted them in corruption in the world that you want to be prosperous in this world and not laying up any treasures in the kingdom of God? My friend, in this world, all things are going to be dissolved. They're going to be done away with. There's nothing that we can store up in this world, in this carnality, mind, and soul that we living in this old world of sin and corruption as it is, that we can store up any place and hide it away for the hereafter. Because hereafter, it's either going to be destroyed in the world, and the sins of the world is going to be done away with, and only those seed that are planted in the kingdom of God and sowed in his righteousness, and you sowed them to the righteousness of God by lifting up his name and praise and honoring him, that the world may see him through you, and they too would come and desire to have a part of this kingdom there. All you can do in this world is labor for that which would satisfy the flesh. But my friend, if you haven't done anything to satisfy the spirit and worship in God in spirit and truth, that you sowed to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. That you sowed to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. These things are going to be destroyed when Jesus comes. The harvest is on the foresight. You can almost look up and know that the Lord's appearing is nigh unto us. If we could just push away the veil that is there over our eyes, we could see him sitting there waiting to have the instruction to go get your children. My friend, it's time that we begin to realize that this world is coming fastly to a close. And the things that are done in this world by the carnal man through sin and strife and whatever he comes to try to make it prosperous in this world and not laying up anything to the kingdom of God and lifting him up, all these other things is going to be done away with. As the wheat is gathered into the barn, but the tares is thrown into the fire, which would you rather be? Would you rather be gathered into the barn and stored in the kingdom of God and reap there the joy and peace and love forevermore throughout all eternity and win a crown of life? Or would you continue to sow in this field that we call the world and with corruption seed that they fall amongst the thorns and the rocks and the fowls of the air, the cares of this world devours them, and you don't have anything to show for when you stand before the kingdom of God, my friend, and you try to offer an excuse. There's no excuse can be offered. There's no amount of money that you have think that you have put aside that's going to pay your way into the kingdom of God. You cannot make it except through repentance and through that the blood of Jesus will be applied to your sins, and he forgive you of your sins, and he bring forth you into the righteousness of God through faith in him who in Jesus Christ, whom God sent into this world to save wretch like you and I. He came into the purpose to bring forth salvation. But if you want to continue into the world and see the prosperity of the world and reap the world and everything like that, continue walking on in your own hard-headed ways and let the goats guide you and direct you instead of letting the chief shepherd of your soul that does not desire for you to be lost but desires that you would repent. Jesus came in this world not to destroy the law, but he made fulfill the law. He came for the purpose to save you from and I from our sins. There's no other name given to whereby that we can be saved, but when Jesus was talking to the apostles there in Luke, in the 8th chapter, in the 5th verse, he said, "His sower went out and sowed his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and some fell trampled down by the fowls." My friend, we got to realize that there is people out there that would try to destroy you and foul you up. We just heard about the other day that the atheists didn't want them to have the prayer day there, a day set aside to pray and worship the true God. But their day, first day of April every year, they have their day because the Bible states that only a fool would say that there is no God. So they say there's no God, so why worship him? And if they feel that way about it, why worry about it? Why do they worry about what you do when he don't believe in a true and living God? Why worry about you, where you pray or not? My friend, today is nobody trying to force them into prayer. If they don't want to pray, it's just like giving pledge to the flag of the United States. If you don't want to pledge to it, don't pledge to it. If you don't want to pray, don't pray. But the thing of it is what's going to happen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States is a thing that is all right for the country. But when it comes to salvation, it ain't going to help you a bit whether you do or not. But it's just honoring that flag that we use for our signify who we are. But I want you to understand that man that don't seek God and don't pray, don't believe in God, he's going to be one of those terrors that's going to be plucked up, cast into the fire, and burned for eternity. So let him be. And these others that are doing all these things, the sin, they're sowing their seed to the flesh. These homosexuals and things of that nature, wanting men to marry men and so on and so forth like that. Leave them alone. But prevent you that God will take care of all these things. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to put into the fire the tares when he brings forth. And he's going to put into his barn them that are wheat, them that have praised and worshiped him with their heart and give him praise and honor. But them that have failed to give honor to him and they have failed to come to the place to wherein they repented calling upon the name of the Lord, that their sins be blotted out, they're going to reap the whirlwind, my friend, and that whirlwind is going to be destruction in hell. The hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Anybody else that goes there is an intruder. But hell has enlarged itself because there's so many people wanting to go there. So it had to grow some in order to receive them. Oh, my friend, God's not, he knocks at your door. But if you'll notice on that picture that they have portrayed of that there's no doorknob on the outside. You got to open it from the inside. And if you don't open it up, he's not going to kick the door down and come in there and force you to serve him. But oh, my friend, when there comes the time of the harvest, when he comes to separate the wheat from the tares, when he comes to bring into the kingdom the wheat and put it in his storehouse, and if you're a tarer, you're going to then wish that you had served him, but it'll be too late. It's just like them was in the days of Noah. They done everything they wanted to do. They sinned, runned rampant. They made fun of Noah. They mocked him, no doubt, in every way. knowing where you're going to float your boat, boy. There ain't no creek around here big enough to do it. But he was telling them that God was going to send a rain and it was going to come a flood. But they laughed at him the more and mocked at him. But my friend, when God put Noah in the ark and he shut the door and it began to rain, the thunder began to roar and the lightning flashed, no doubt to me that they was crying out, but it was too late. There was prayer meetings going on, but their prayers was too late. Are you going to be like them and go ahead in this world without giving God some worship and praise and repentance today and wait for tomorrow may be too late? Today is the day of salvation. So why stand you in the valley of decision? You need to decide now whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the man of this world, the devil and his gang, or are you going to serve God in his righteousness, giving him praise and honor, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith? Or are you just going to grow up like an old weed? I don't care. I'm sucking from the roots down there where the weed is at, and I'm living and I'm flourishing good and green, and I'm doing okay. You got that attitude? Well, you may be, but when the thrashing time comes by, and it all thrashed out, and you be cast in the outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and that good seed is gathered into the bags and put in the storehouse in the kingdom of God. You're going to be crying and weeping, but you're going to be in hell as a rich man was when Lazarus was afar off in Abraham's bosom. A rich man cried out, "Father Abraham, let Lazarus go and dip his finger in the water and come and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." My friend, it'll be too late to cry out then. It'll be too late to cry and ask God to forgive you because you've had all the time. They had 120 years in Noah's time to repent, and none did. There was only 8 souls that got through the flood in the ship. But I want you to know that there was only 3 got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the rest was destroyed when the fire failed. My friend, and only the things that which represent God, the good wheat, the good seed that grows and flourishes in the kingdom of God and produces fruits under the Spirit and worship him, giving God praise and honor, is the only one that's going to be gathered into the kingdom. Them that has repented, believing upon the Son of God, the everlasting King of kings and Lord of lords, believing in him that God sent him into this world to die for our sins. And through his name, we have repentance and remission of sin because he shed his blood and paid yours and my sin debt. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus knew when he come into this world, it was all planned from the foundation of the world that he would come and die for the world there. It includes you and me, my friend, not just this old world that we call the earth here, but it's for the world that God looked at on the mankind, on that he created in his own image and in his likeness. That's what he came to save, not this old Mother Earth. It'll all be resolved and done away with. And he said, the scripture says, he'll create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you going to be in that dwelleth righteousness? Or are you going to be in that cast into outer darkness? It's up to you, my friend. God ain't going to make you serve him. Or you have troubles. We all have troubles. I've been preaching this gospel for a long time, for over 40 years. I've been trying to encourage people to serve the Lord. But I want you to know I have my problems. I have troubles. The Bible speaks about a man that's born to woman is going to have troubles in this life. But I, as the sparks fly upward, I want you to understand, if you want to see the sparks fly up, go build your fire and poke in it, and you'll see, and your troubles may be multiplied even to that. But God, in his mercy, will give you grace to endure. And if you endure for the goodness of God and lift up his name, even in your supplication, even in your trials, in your tribulations, there you praise him and lift him up as Job did. He said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And God gave him back what more than he had to start with. But my friend, if you're looking for the material things of this world, and that you plant seed in some place or another because some man said, plant your seed, and watch it grow. Well, his bank account grows and yours gets less, but you ain't put nothing into the kingdom of God. He's a false prophet if there ever was one. And believe me, my friend, there's plenty of them out there. The Bible said they would come in his name, and there's many of them doing it. But it's time you got hold of the word of God. Read your scriptures. Pray and ask God to direct you for his name's sake and for the kingdom of God, that you'll be multiplied in the growth in the Spirit of God, that you'll come forth and bring forth fruits under the Spirit, and your seed, that you planted into the Spirit of God, will grow and multiply and see your friends and loved ones come into the kingdom of God. That's what God wants you to do. That's the seed he wants you to plant. Plant it in faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not see no results right away, but keep praying, keep watering. And soon, you don't see a seed, you plant it today and it come up tomorrow and start bearing fruit. It takes a process of time. And when you plant that seed of salvation into the hearts of one of your friends and loved ones, it may take a while, but keep watering it, my friend. Keep watering it that it'll come forth. And one day you'll see the sprout come up, and then you'll see it growing and flourishing for the kingdom of God. And when the harvest comes, there you can be gathered together with the Lord and put in the storehouse of God. Then you can rejoice. Oh, you can't rejoice in the riches of this world. You may get everything you want and fulfill the lust of the flesh with all of whatever you may have. But my friend, when you see it go up in smoke, what have you got? If it's not going to stand the test. The Bible says it'll all be done away with. All these things that we have in this land, in this world, whatever we've accumulated, is going to be done away with. These big monuments that people have built to themselves, statues and one thing or another, all be resolved. They'll be done away with. And some of these preachers have built in multi-million dollar churches and one thing or another. It's all going to go up in smoke. And if he ain't got his heart right, he'll go with it. My friend, plant your seed in the kingdom of God and praise and honoring him and giving him praise and honor, and testifying about the goodness and the grace of God, lifting up his precious name, because one day he was lifted up from the earth for you, that you may be drawn unto him. He died for you. That man over there is saying, send him all your seed. He didn't die for you. Jesus did. He's the one that's going to make the difference of who you plant your seed into. He's the one that's going to give you eternal life, not the other man that's planting your seed, wanting your seed to be planted in his garden. My friend, today it's time we realize that time is running short. The harvest is coming nigh unto us. It's time that Jesus is going, close to the time that Jesus is going to appear in the clouds of glory. And if we haven't done anything but sow to the flesh and sowed to the wind, then we're going to reap the results of the flesh and be lost. Sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. Be lost, in other words. But if you sowed into the kingdom of God and his righteousness, praising him and lifted him up, coming together with praise with the brothers and sisters that you accumulated along the way and you've come in touch with, that God has brought you together and they assembled them together with worship and praise. The church has got to where now it's so lukewarm that hardly anybody assembles together to praise God. They gather together in the football games and things like that. They'll travel thousands of miles to be into one of them, but they won't go around the corner to give God praise and all that. Oh, I say, well, I'm a Christian. I praise God going to the football. And in the football, they praise the players. My friend, God doesn't honor that. He lets you do. He'll let you live your own life as you see fit, as you want to. But, honey, if you don't include God into it, when it comes the time of the harvest and you be cast into outer darkness where the weeping and wailing is, you can't blame nobody but yourself, because it's a thing individual between you and God, and I can't save you, and no man can, and you can plant your seed and all of the men, the people that's preaching this gospel on TV, and you can sponsor them on TV and all these other things, and they can pray for you and say, God, perform miracles and one thing or another. They can speak in that heavenly language, and you give to them, and you call them and tell them, oh, God done this and God done that. But God doesn't do things in secret. He does it openly. You'll find that Jesus went about doing good, and there was plenty of witness around and about him. You didn't have to call him on the telephone and said, well, the Lord done this and the Lord done that. The apostles, Peter got the word that they had so much confidence in him that they laid the sick out on the street just hoping that Peter's shadow would pass by. That was done in no secret. It was done openly. Openly and all. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him with all that is within you, whatever you have to worship God with. Praise him from your heart, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith. We need to give him praise and honor. It's going to be too late one of these days, my friend. When the harvest comes and the wheat and the tares are separated, and the tares has been cast into the fire, and the wheat is gathered into the barn, the wheat's going to rejoice in everlasting life with the Lord, with a crown of righteousness and a crown of life, and on the robe of righteousness. But that tare that didn't regard God as nothing, and he just went along his own merry way, and he's reaped the whirlwind, he's reaped destruction, he's going to be in hell, but his prayers are going to be too late. It ain't going to do him no good to pray. Jonah found out, but he was in the belly of the whale, but he cried out, and Lord had mercy on him and delivered him, and the whale spewed him out. But honey, hell ain't going to spew you out, because Abraham told the rich man, he said, there's a great gulf fixed between us. Lazarus can't come down there, and you can't come up here, and Lazarus ain't going to tell your brothers and over there to shun this place that you come into. They've got the prophets and the preachers back there to tell them about the kingdom of God, and they need to repent. But the time of refreshing is right upon our hands, my friend. The time of the harvest is near, and the seed that you sowed, if you sowed it in righteousness, it'll grow and flourish in the kingdom of God. But if you sowed it to the wind and in this kingdom, in this world as it is and everything, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You're going to go down in defeat and destruction. It's plain, but it's truth. I don't mean to be detrimental and put you in hell. I want you to be saved. I want you to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read your word of God. Read the Bible and ask God to guide you. And he said he would send the Holy Ghost to us that it would lead and guide us into all truth. My friend, don't believe a man what he says except it backs up with the word of God. Our government can't save you. It's bringing us down in defeat. It's putting us in debt by the millions every day because of some stupidity way of they got trying to say they're going to save us. They can't do anything for you. We're living in days of perilous times. There's wars and rumors of wars. All these things are happening. Earthquakes and all these things are happening. Showing all of the signs in the heavens and in the sun and the moon and the stars. All these things are the fulfillment of God's word, showing us at the nearing of the harvest. Be prepared. It's coming. And the only way that you're going to survive it and I'm going to survive it is have our names on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. On the Lamb's Book of Life. And have it there, our sins beneath the blood of Jesus. That's our only hope. If you got hope in this world, you're a man most miserable. Oh, my friend, my hope is in the kingdom of God, in Jesus Christ. My faith is in him because he's the one that gave it to me. And the world didn't give me this unction I have to serve him, and the world can't take it away. They may destroy this old body, but thanks be unto God, they can't destroy the soul. That's only in God's hand. He can destroy soul and body in hell. My friend, listen. Read your word of God. Read it for yourself. Don't believe what some man says in a secret chamber with a big hat on or something and say, claims he can forgive your sin. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He's one of the devil's advocates. No man can forgive sin except Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh, came into this world and died for a wretch like you and I. He made it possible that you and I could have a righteousness. He made it possible that we didn't have to perish in the sins of our life, but he made it possible that he could forgive us if we believe and trust in him and give him praise and honor. The same God that raised Jesus Christ from the tomb will raise you up one day out of the dust of the earth if you sleep in him. When that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, and them that remain to be alive and will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and be brought into the kingdom of God. That's going to be the harvest of God's speaking about. That's going to be the time to where the sweet and the tares are going to be separated, because there will come a time again that when death, hell, and the grave will give up the dead, and they'll be judged out of the books. And if their name is not in the Lamb's book of life, they'll be cast again into hell, which is the second death. You want to live eternally? You got to give your life to God. You got to praise and worship him. You got to repent for the ungodly sins that you've done. Some of you are good moral people. I don't doubt that. But good moral person without repentance unto God and got forgiveness, because we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and God came into that he would forgive us of those things. The purpose of it is to save you from your sins. Sin is run rapid into the world since Adam fell in the garden. It's been appointed unto man to die, and they did. But once that they're dead, there's a life hereafter. This old body will lay down one day, my friend. And if it lies down in corruption, it's going to lie in corruption. And sin, in other words, it's going to fall into hell. But if it falls in righteousness, it's going to raise in righteousness. It's going to raise and be planted into the kingdom of God. Oh, my friend, sow your seed into the kingdom of God with praise and worship. Your monetary things don't mean nothing to him. All these big cathedrals that these people are putting you in bondage to build and everything is not going to be in benefit. It's going to be done away with. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned about the temple that he said that you are, the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the only temple he's concerned about, your very soul, where he and he wants to dwell. He wants to save that. It's not the big brick building or the fine marble and stone, gold and silver, or whatever it might be that he's interested in, because he's going to do away with it. He don't need that. He's gone to prepare a place for them that love him and his appearance. And he said, if I go and prepare it, I'll come again and receive you. And he's going to bring us into his kingdom where there'll be peace, love, and joy forevermore. You want to have no matter this sickness and the cancer eating up the body and heart attacks and all these kind of things and strokes and blindness and halted in life, but everything will be as it was supposed to, as God wanted it to be in the very beginning. But because of the fall of one man, sin entered into the world, and since then there's been death and trouble galore. But by the faith of another man, the man called Jesus came into this world to die for our sins. It made it possible that we could be planted again into the kingdom of God. I just believe it's going to be better than that, than what Adam had. And I figured that Adam had it made, but he gave it up because of his temptation that the devil tempted his wife with, and she did take according to the scriptures, and he eat, and we put us all in jeopardy. My friend, the only one that can come and save us from our sins was the quickening spirit of the glory of God that was manifested in the flesh and came and died on Calvary's cross for us. Oh, he's our only hope. If you've got hope in this world, you're a man most miserable. I got hope in the kingdom of God, whereby that my soul will rejoice in his return, whereby that we will reap what he has in store for us. And it's much more than what our mind could even grasp. but to reap the whirlwind of sowing to this world and to all the things that are in this world and reaping the carnal things of man while you're here and you give God no praise and glory, then it ain't going to benefit you nothing, because you're not going to have the inheritance that God said we could have. Join heirs with him in glory. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to realize and look into the scriptures, believe what it says, pray and seek God, and ask him to direct and guide us into the righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of our soul. You can't get it down at the bank. Unc won't give it to you because he ain't got it. The president can't give it to you because he needs some himself. And all these politicians is going about saying that, oh, what are they going to do and what they going to do? They send them this money that they'll do this for you. My friend, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of these that's going after the things of this world, including politicians, presidents, and kings, and all them that don't know God in their personal relationship with him and have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, they're going to go down in defeat. I don't care who he is, where he come from, what color his skin is, or what language he speaks. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your blood, your sins under the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of your sins, you'll go down in defeat. It's plain and simple. God's not going to be mocked. He's not going to bring into the kingdom of God these terrors and bring them forth there. It's going to be tried as though by fire. And so when the trials of this life come upon you, pray and rejoice in the Spirit of God. Lift up your hands and thank God that you're counted worthy to be tested and tried for the kingdom of God, to have the tribulations. Rejoice in them, as Paul said. Oh, I have my problems. Everybody does. But oh, when God relieves the problem and he brings it off and he lifts that trouble off of you and everything, and you feel that Spirit of God that's insurged into you and lift that burden of away from you, of somebody that's done you wrong, or of sickness that's on you, or one of your loved ones is troubled or whatever, and God answers the prayer and you feel that lifting of God in his presence, that he brings forth victory out of your prayers, and you feel in the rejoicing and you lift up your heart and praise and honoring him. My friend, them's the seed that God wants you to plant. Them's the ones that he wants you to sow. Them's the ones he's coming back for, that them that look to him for their needs, them that look to him for the salvation, believing and trusting in him and the time that he suffered on Calvary's cross, the stripes for our healing, and the sacrifice he made for our salvation. No other man could do it but God himself. Put on the robe of flesh, came as a child, born as we were, of a woman, made under the law, came here not to destroy the law but to fulfill it, and he done everything that could possibly be done for yours and my salvation. There's nothing else can be done. There's nothing that you can do or I can do that would give us a better plan of salvation. It's already done been planned out. And you know the good thing about it? It didn't cost us nothing but the world. It said, to come ye out from among the world, and be ye therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. But the world is going to go up in smoke, my friend. So what you going to have if that's all you're looking for? If you're looking for all this and all, go out to the graveyards out there. You'll find some small graves and medium size, and some young and some old. But my friend, them young ones there, I'm persuaded to believe, is in the hands of God. But them old ones that knowed better, had come into the time that they should done repented, they liable to be suffering right now. It's only those that have praised God and looked to him for salvation. Come to him, humble it, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord, accepting the sacrifice that was made, and that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and in his name that they cry out and pray and seek after salvation and allow him to come into their life. That's the only seed that God wants you to plant. And the thing that works for your salvation, the only work you can do, honey, is go down there on your knees at an altar somewhere or another. It may be by your bedside or it may whatever it may be. But you cry out in God and cry out to Him in faith and believe Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You don't have to be in one of these multi-million-dollar cathedrals to raise your hand and cry out to God. You can be by your bedside and earnestly calling upon the name of the Lord and repenting, and you can be saved. But just raising your hand because some man said, raise your hand and repeat after me if you want to go to heaven. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and you're on your way. Don't believe all that, my friend. That's not what the Bible says. It's not in the book in that manner. You just repeat it after him, but you got to pray from your heart. You got to give God honor and praise. Oh, listen to me. I'm after your soul. I'm after to plant a seed of salvation deep into the heart of your mind that you may think about the goodness and the blessings of God, that you would think about what he done for you, that no other one can do, but he done it because he loved you enough that he don't want to see you perish. But he wants you to come unto him as you are. You don't have to get right to come to him, just as you are. Don't make no difference with your sin there. You come to him and dark and black and covered or whatever. He'll take that red blood that was shed there on Calvary and wash away your sins. And even though they be dark and red like crimson, he'll make them whiter than snow. Cast them out and throw them behind him, no longer be remembered against you. But, honey, you're going to have to seek after the kingdom of God for yourself. I can't do it for you. I can tell you about the man called Jesus. I can talk to you and I can preach my heart out. But if the seed of salvation falls on a deaf ear and you don't hear what the Spirit saith to you, or if it falls into this and you plant it on a rock, or you let it sow into the world and you don't pay no mind to it, you're going to reap the whirlwind because the seed is going to fall. You become a terror and you'll lose out on the kingdom of God. But if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, in repentance and praying unto him, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, there you will find that peace that only God can give you. And the righteousness that he can give you is surpassed more than you and I can understand. But he'll bring you into the place that we're in. He said he would go and prepare for you, and he would come and receive you and bring you into the place that there where he is, there you may be also. It's up to you, my friend. I can't save you, but you're the one that's going to have to make the decision. It's between you and Jesus himself. It's up to you. Get out of the valley of decision. Make a decision to follow Jesus. Come to the crossroad and make the right turn. Make the right turn on the straight and the narrow, and we're in that few travel there on it. But you've been on the road of destruction, many traveling there on it, in the broad path of this world, many traveling there on it. But at the end of it, and they all be cast into outer darkness, but straight and narrow, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads into the kingdom of God. My friend, which is your choice? It's up to you. You need to decide now because tomorrow may be too late. Jesus is coming soon, and the harvest is now getting prepared. He's getting prepared to bring forth the harvest, and you need to get it right now because tomorrow may be too late. So as we go off at this time, we just pray that God will help you to understand and to realize. Read your word and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Write to us if you will. Let us hear from you whether we're helping you or not. We'd be appreciated. But God richly bless you, my friend, and touch you and bring you to the place that we're in that you will repent and receive the blessings of God in Jesus' precious name. Until next week, take time for Jesus during the week. God bless you, and we'll give him praise and glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.